Well, just as we begin, I want to let us know the kids have a table there, of course, to welcome on the carpet, even though we will have more worship as we move through the day. But we just want everybody to be comfortable in this environment, in this Sabbath celebration. Now, as we look at concluding this whole series on Sabbath deconstructed and these different movements of Sabbath, right? Because Sabbath requires rest, because rest is important. Sabbath requires us having an attitude of contentment, because that prepares our heart to receive what God has for us. It prepares our heart to be thankful no matter what our circumstance. Sabbath requires reflection. If you'll remember the example of the fighter pilots, and the last thing they do in training is their trainer turns them all around and puts them in a nosedive and then gives them control of the plane again to come out of it as he takes the blindfold off. They need a moment. They can't just jump right in. They have to step back and pause and get their bearings so that they can adjust their attitude, fix their attitude of the plane, of the aircraft. And we need to step away for those moments of reflection with God so that we can adjust our attitude, so that we can determine what's right side up and what's upside down, so that we can figure out where we need to go and what direction we need to go in. And of course, Sabbath requires relationship. Relationship with God and others. That's what we talked about last week. Relationship that's meant to be enjoyed, that we never let busy, we never let things crowd out Jesus. We never let crowds crowd out people. We never let tasks crowd out people. And as I hope you learned, we never let busy, we never let good crowd out best. And so with that, today we look at Sabbath celebration, and we're like this, and things are all kind of upside down, not because we're doing the fighter pilot thing with y'all to get your bearing, but because we want to walk through Sabbath celebration and what that looks like. And so there are a lot of places that we could go in Scripture to see Sabbath celebration. Can I tell you that one of the things that we have stepped away from, that we are greatly missing from our Jewish heritage, and you're like, well, Pastor Jen, I'm not Jewish. Well, in Jesus you are, okay? Like, that's how it goes. We are heirs to the kingdom. We are heirs to Abraham through Jesus. And so one of the things we miss is the rich tradition of celebration and feasting and festival that is part of Jewish culture. Not because the Jewish people decided they needed to party more than everybody else, but because God ordained festivals and feasting and celebration. And in our busy need to get everything done, in our constantly living in chronos time that we're just pushing through for the sake of time, we miss the opportunities and the moments. I hope that you guys Thursday, Wednesday in the prep, Thursday in the games and the eating, and maybe even in the Black Friday shopping if you did that, had moments of pause, moments of relationship, moments of enjoyment. I chose today to go to Nehemiah chapter 8 because it is a time when God's people had been outcast, when God's people had been set aside, and they had come back. They had come back into Jerusalem, and so the feasts and the festivals and the celebrations that had been part of their traditions and their cultures, they had not participated in because they had been in exile for 70 plus years, 70 years of exile, and then all the time to come back. Ezra has rebuilt the temple and begun to rebuild the people's faith. Nehemiah has rallied the troops to rebuild the wall. And they are entering back into celebration for the first time as a people again. And as we reflected on just how much in our culture we have set aside Sabbath, rest, relationship, reflection, contentment, and celebration, I couldn't think of a better place for us to go this morning than to follow the example of a people who had set all those things aside and were coming back to them. And so we're just going to walk through this passage really kind of in a devotional style. Look, I don't have my iPad. I don't have my music stand. We're just going to go through the passage, see what it points us to, experience what it points us to, and take a couple little notes to tuck away along the way. Are we good, church? Are we good, family online? All right. So I am in Nehemiah chapter 8, actually the last little half of a verse of chapter 7, and it's going to be up on the screen, but I'm going to go ahead and read to you. Let me make a little more room here for you guys. Good morning, Miss Sydney. Good morning. So again, Nehemiah chapter 8, it says, "When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read aloud from daybreak until noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law." Okay, first of all, I want us to notice that it says that all the people came together as one in the square. Sabbath celebration isn't something that just happens on a whim. We need to be intentional about celebrating. They were united in purpose, and that purpose centered on the word, but it centered in coming together as one to celebrate. And the other thing I notice in this passage is that it says that the assembly was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. In a time in the world, and in a time in their culture where many things were exclusive to people groups, God's word and Sabbath celebration were not exclusive. They were inclusive. Men and women and all. Slaves, servants, foreigners, children, didn't matter. Men and women and all. And it says that they read the word from daybreak until noon. We're not going to do that. Y'all were like, but the chafing dishes are lit now. I'm kind of hungry. That's not why you're feeding us, is it? No. No, but I do want to remind us the significance of the word. And they had not had the word because they didn't have these. Remember, the word was on the scrolls, and the scrolls were with the priestly things, and they had been in exile. So they had starved for the word of God for more than 70 years. And here was the word, and they came hungry, and they came ready. And so we're not going to read for hours, but I certainly pray that as you come in today or any other Sabbath day, that if you're not feeling it, that you just take a minute, because let me let you in on a little secret. The lead team, the pastors, some days you're just not feeling it, right? But you're intentional. You come in one purpose. You take a step back, and you ask God to make you hungry for the word, and you come ready for that. And so I just want to point that out. And I want to remind us that there are places in the world that made me think of the places in the world where Bibles are illegal. Like being military, if you went to Saudi Arabia, you weren't allowed to have a Bible. You weren't even allowed at Christmas time to have the Christmas stamps unless they had stamps. Like you couldn't have anything religious in your bags as a military member going into Saudi Arabia, much less a citizen. In communist countries where Bibles are illegal, or extreme Islamic countries where Bibles are illegal, and people smuggle in pages and they memorize their page or their chapter so that when the group comes together, there's 200 people and they get one Bible and they get a couple pages and they memorize it. Guys, we have a gift here. We have something to celebrate, and our ability to have it on our phones and our apps. Y'all are like, well, they have apps, they have internet, they have controlled internet. It's a whole different thing. And so that we celebrate that. I'm going to go ahead and move us through this. In verse 4, it says, "Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion, and beside him at his right," and it lists, it lists all the people, right? And so beside him on the right were all these Jewish names that are really hard to pronounce, and I didn't study. So we're going to move through those. And it says, Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. All the people stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, amen. They bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. It says, Ezra stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Again, celebration and Sabbath, the word of God, takes intentionality. It takes not only intentionality, but investment. They came excited to celebrate, and they were intentional about building something to help them do that. This didn't just happen. We spent some time investing on how to lay these things out and fit things and, you know, have things so that we together could celebrate. What are you doing to be intentional about celebrating in your life? What are you doing to be intentional about Sabbath celebrations in your life? How are you investing in that? So they stood up. By the way, we sometimes think that that's just a tradition of our culture in old-fashioned churches where you stand to read the word of God. Now, I usually guys have you guys read with me because I think it's important that we recite together, that you get the word together, that we do that. But I want us to see that that really points back to an Old Testament tradition of standing for the word. But their response and preparation was praise. They bowed down in worship. They bowed down in thanksgiving because we don't, y'all, the party is shallow without the praise in the right place. Can we just, like, the party may be fun, but the party is shallow without the praise in the right place, focused on the right person, which is Jesus. And so Pastor Shelley is going to come up, and we're going to invite the worship team up, because before we go any further in our celebration, like the people did, we're going to walk in praise. I want to say this. If you are not comfortable and you need to spread out some, that is okay. We have trays up there. We don't want anyone outside their comfort zones. Just make yourselves comfortable.
Okay. All right. There we are. Good morning. And so part of what we celebrate is God's provision for us in so many ways, not just tangible, financial, but what we receive in our hearts through the word, the intimacy that we get to have with him in prayer and the celebration of worship. And part of our celebration is the ability to give back. And so this is a time when we reflect on our giving. I hope that you guys can get to a place of seeing it as something to celebrate. And today, as I was just praying about generosity, I went into 2 Corinthians 9, verses 5 through 15. If you want to spend some time there later. But really, it was all about being generous and being joyful in your generosity and just really acknowledging God as your good provider, that he meets your every need. And near the end of that scripture, it talked about when we give, we're not just giving a physical, tangible, financial offering that supports church family, your community, or the church. We do that, but what the thing that I think is even better is that we're sowing seeds into people's lives that might be in a really desperate place. And when we come alongside them in that way, we sow seeds of joy, and they actually enter into celebration. And So I want to honor you guys. You guys are absolutely a generous people and a generous family. And I want to honor God. So if you'll just take a few minutes to reflect on your worship and giving. And we have the generosity box over here for your tithes and offerings. If you want to give here, we also have giving available online. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise that you are a good God, that you are more than generous, and you provide far above beyond what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. You are God that is exceedingly abundant. And so, Lord, would you teach us to be just like you? We give you thanks for meeting all of our needs, Lord, and our hearts are open, listening, and we celebrate in our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So it does my heart good to see you all here, family. Psalm 122, verse 1, of course, says, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. So just to be able to see that all of you came out after Thanksgiving just to collectively worship and hear the word of God is something that warms my heart. So let's get ready to make God smile.
Yours is the name high above any other. Yours is the kingdom forever you reign. And yours is the power that lifted us out of the is the heart that is beating inside us. Yours is the glory in all of the pain. And yours is the love that you pour down on us. We're rising up to sing your praise. To the King Almighty, to the one who saved, be glory and honor for all our days. With our hands on heaven and our voices raised, King Almighty, we give all our praise.
Yours is the whole earth.
Yours is the whole earth and everything in it. Yours are the stars that you've spoken to. Yours are the shouts of the sons and daughters lifting up your holy name. To the King Almighty, to the one who saved, be glory and honor for all our days. With our hands toward heaven and our voices raised, to the King Almighty we give all our praise. For an unending mercy, for amazing grace, for life everlasting, for sins erased. With our hands toward heaven and our voices raised, to the King Almighty we give our praise.
Lord, you rescued and redeemed us.
We're alive, we're forgiven, shouting our praise with our hands toward heaven. Rescue, redeem, we're alive, we're forgiven, shouting our praise with our hands toward heaven.
Rescue, redeem,
we're alive, we're forgiven,
shouting our praise
with our hands toward heaven. Rescue, redeem,
we're alive, we're forgiven,
shouting our praise with our hands toward heaven.
To the King,
to the King Almighty, to the one who saved, be glory and honor for all our days. With our hands toward heaven and our voices raised, to the King Almighty we give.
morning, God. We thank you, God. We thank you so much. You are worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Great is our God.
thank you, God, for who you are. And even as we enter in to the next word that you have for us, God, we enter in with praise and thanksgiving, with recognition of who you are and who we are in you because of you. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You guys can go ahead and take your seats again. We are going to, we want to provide an opportunity for that praise. That's some of the questions that we sent out asking you, you know, what do you have to be thankful for? Where are you thanking God this year? But also, you know, in the midst of the storm, all those things, we're going to have an opportunity. That's why this is up here during our meal time to share. So don't let go of that posture of praise. Don't let that stray far from your mind, because it's the posture of contentment and the posture of praise that is makes fertile ground for God's word to take root. Amen? Amen. All right, so if we pick back up in Nehemiah 8, so they have bowed down and worshiped the Lord with faces to the ground, praising God. And then it says the Levites who were the priests, and it lists all their names, instructed the people of the law while the people were standing there. They read, let me get out of the way of the screen so you can follow along. They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving meaning so the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. So there's a couple things I want us to understand in this as we approach Sabbath, as we approach celebration. It says that they were reading it and making it clear and giving meaning. The difference between religion and relationship, we don't come and open this word for tradition or for posturing. We come to God's word with an anticipation and an expectation of understanding, of knowledge, of change. The word is not for the tradition. The word is for being understood. And the other thing I noticed in here is that the people were weeping. And you might ask, well, Pastor Jen, why were the people weeping? Well, the people were weeping because they had been away from the law for so long. They had been away from God's word for so long that they realized that there were all these things, as Ezra read, that they weren't doing. And the word will do that. The word will convict us. We should walk in here. Y'all, I don't know. Maybe y'all are just a bunch of perfect people, but I can't prepare for a single sermon so far without being convicted in my heart, without God saying, "See this, see this. I need you to work on this. I need you to do this." But what I want us to understand is that as the people wept, the priests and the leaders were like, "Don't weep." See, God's word isn't meant to condemn and bring shame. It might convict and bring change. That's good. God's word is an invitation to change for good. It is not a sentence of shame for what we haven't done in the past. The people had been exiled. They hadn't been following God's law. That's okay. God wasn't about shaming them. He was about bringing them back into rightness. God invites us to repentance. God doesn't invite us to shame. And so as God invites us and they read from the law, I thought about what are the key things that we really want as a lead team for you to take away from this whole series, Sabbath Deconstructed, right? What are the key things? That it's not about religion, it's about relationship. That it is not a sentence or a timeout. Not a sentence like a word sentence, but a sentence from a judge sentence, right? Y'all got that? It's not a sentence or a timeout or a designated nap time, although naps are good and a part of it. But it's an invitation. It's an invitation to freedom. And that takes us back to God's original command. God established Sabbath in the garden, but commanded Sabbath in the desert. That's when it became not just something for them to do, but a command and a requirement. And if we go back to Deuteronomy 15, it says, "Observe the Sabbath." Excuse me. Deuteronomy 5, getting to verse 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. And then it lists all the people, neither you nor your sons nor your daughters nor your servants. See, we go back to Sabbath relationship. It wasn't about just one person getting a day off. It was about establishing a time for family and community to gather together. And then in verse 15, it says, remember, why do we do Sabbath? Why did God command Sabbath? Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day, to observe a day marked for freedom in a life marked for freedom, which takes me to the verse that Jerry read last week, which I thought I put a sticky on, but apparently did not, in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, hold on, we're going to get there. It's right behind me. We're going to read it together. Thank you. All right. I do not call you slaves anymore, because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Jesus invites us into Sabbath rest, Sabbath relationship, Sabbath reflection, and Sabbath celebration as he invites us to freedom, to be co-heirs with him in the kingdom of God. And so with that, we begin really the feast of celebration focused on the freedom of Jesus. And so we want to invite you guys, Shelley, Pastor Shelley, to come up and lead us in celebrating that freedom.
All right, I'm on here. So as we prepare, I want to make sure that everyone has a cup. The portable communion cups are at your table. If you do not have a cup, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of our connections volunteers will get you set up. And you might want to go ahead and start working on getting them open. Sometimes that can be a challenge. And so we're really going to come to communion today from a posture of gratitude, celebration, and joy. So this morning in remembrance, let's celebrate all that God has done for us and respond with joy, celebration, and gratitude. And take just a moment. We want to pause and give thanks for everything that God has done for us through his sacrifice, through his body and his blood. And just take a moment and search your heart. Is there anything that you need to confess before him? And then position yourself to just really bring your hunger and your need to God. Celebrate his provision. He is a good provider. And let us give thanks for all the ways that he's blessed us and that he has fed us through Christ. And so the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus actually assures us that we will not go hungry. Our concerns will not go unheard, and our pain is not unnoticed, nor will our sins be counted against us. Our sins will not have the final word over us. In Christ, all of our sin is removed, and a perfect righteousness is given. And we are welcomed by God to gather around the table today for a celebratory feast. And so you can go ahead and take your bread. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we give thanks. You may take and eat. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, drink in remembrance of me." Let your heart be grateful this morning as you drink. Holy God, we give you thanks for the bread and for the wine, your body and your blood, which has made provision for us, that sin does not have its final word over us, Lord, but instead, this morning, we receive with celebration the gift of your perfect righteousness. Amen.
As we sing this last song over you, it's entitled Psalm 23. It's just a reminder of who God is to us. And so thank you, Pastor Shelley, for leading us in that communion, because it's always a time of reflection and reminding us of what he's done for us. So it's a simple song. The words will be on the screen. You can try and sing it when you feel comfortable.
Forever.
will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory.
Your spirit lives within me.
So I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit lives within me.
My victory.
Your spirit lives within me.
So I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit lives within me.
My victory.
Your spirit lives within me.
So I will walk in your peace.
Your spirit lives within me. My victory.
Our comfort. He always holds us close. Amen. He is our victory. Our victory is in Him. Amen, church. Even as we prepare to celebrate, as we look at even pre-Jesus, as Nehemiah and the people gathered to feast, to praise, to worship on the Word, to fellowship together. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Send something to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites calmed all the people because they were still grieving. This is a holy day. Do not grieve. This is a holy day. The world is heavy out there, but God can handle that. Do not grieve, church. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, not great regret. The ones who didn't have and had to have stuff given to them, not with great regret, with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. It's our prayer that as we conclude our series on Sabbath Deconstructed, as we have deconstructed Sabbath to all the different elements and applied them bit by bit, that you would have joy because you understand that Sabbath is not a task or a burden, but it is a gift and an invitation. This little teeny passage right here, he says, choice food and sweet drink. Sabbath celebration is not a time for restraint. If I could go back to every Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthday and holiday dinner where I made my kids eat their vegetables first, I have repented to them. Like, there are times for celebration where if chocolate and bacon are what goes on your plate, awesome, right? It's not every day. 6 days are for labor and restraint, but then there is Sabbath. Can I get an amen in the house? The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you don't have it in you, God does. The joy, let the joy of God be your strength in the times where your joy is failing. Enter into the house. That's why gathering together is important, because we carry each other's burdens in the joy of the Lord. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. Sabbath celebration is an act of invitation. It's an act of service and generosity. So in that, I would like you all to know that the lead team didn't want you to have to come prepared. And the lead team didn't want what came out of the church, what you give, to be a part of this. We wanted as a team to extend an invitation of generosity to you. So y'all thank the lead team, because they're responsible for the bacon and the eggs and the everything else. They're responsible for the choice food and the sweet drinks, and they brought them with hearts of generosity to share with all the people. So there are plenty of times where we give you nuggets to go and take and apply. But here today, we go right here in this room and apply.